Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome back, all my friends, to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm delighted you chose to be here again with me. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, as my wife just introduced me, and it's a delight for me to come here twice a week, Saturday nights at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Sunday mornings 9:30. Hey. Anyway, I do this out of love. I do this because of the love of the topic and love itself. So the title is, I'm Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Are Potential BS. Yes, I know what BS stands for, but I also know it stands for bait and switch. Sometimes we live life by this manipulative notion that we can draw people in with some kind of disingenuous no ideas or attraction, and then switch on them when we get what we want from whoever it is that we're BSing. So the only value of the human race that is worth spending time on learning and learning how to unlearn what is less than love is love. Did I say that right? I think so. I'll give myself credit for it. So you're back and I'm delighted. Welcome back, all my friends that listen here every week. And as I say, you can listen online later. You can go to the WPCA Radio website and look at the top of the website. There's a bar at the top there that says No BS Bishop. You can click on that. And the archive of the past 4 years of what we've done here is in there. So go in and listen. Tune in to any one of those. I would recommend the ones that are in the past couple of years anyway, because I feel like we've improved with age like a good fine wine. And so here we are. Welcome back, my friends. And by the way, welcome to any of our newcomers. You make my heart happy to know that you would give us a chance to take a half an hour of your life and talk to you about the highest, most important value of the human condition, and that is love. I believe in the power of love. When the love of power has been trampled underneath the power of love, the world will be healed. I think Jimi Hendrix said that, and maybe somebody else, Bob Marley perhaps, whoever said it, they're right, that when the love of power is trampled underneath the power of love, the world will be healed. One of the things we do here, if you're new, is we recite the Love's Creed. And I believe this Love's Creed. Why? Because I wrote it several years ago, about a decade ago. And it has become part of my mantra, part of my repetitive meditation. So let me read it in total. Then we'll come back and I'll read it to you like an officiant would at a marriage altar. I know a little bit about that. I've been doing weddings for the better part of 50 years, and I love to see a bride and groom taking in those wedding vows with a little nervous trepidation. So anyway, here's Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total. Then we'll go back and give it to you in segments. Ready? Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let me go back. I'll give it to you in short bursts. I'll say a phrase. You repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything That is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's love's creed. If you'd like a copy of that, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, lowercase, and send that to me at gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy. Put it on a 3x5 card, or put it in your computer, on your phone or your iPad, your device, so you can see it routinely and remind yourself when things get tough. I'll tell you, when things get tough, and that's today I want to talk to you about. When things get tough, love is the answer. I don't care what the question is. Love is the answer. Either it's love that needs to be given, or love needs to be received. And our love tank needs a refill on a regular basis. So give me a shout by randydeanministries@gmail. I'll send you a copy of Love's Creed. You see, I'm just naive enough, maybe, I suppose is what you'd call it, to believe that our world is waiting for powerful people to show up. Now, I want you to hear that carefully. Powerful people, not bullying, not controlling, not bossy, not fear-mongering people, but powerful people. And in my definition, powerful people are people full of vision. They're full of purpose and imagination, authenticity. I'm simplistic enough to believe profoundly that our world is crying out for the appearance of people who are alive with faith, hope, and especially radiant love, no matter what the challenges are. And we have challenges by the freight train load, times 10. The challenges of our current world are enormous. I get it. But I'm so convinced, I'm so truly embraced to the idea that love is the answer no matter what the challenge. People often will say to me, oh, you can't just love. And everything in me just jumps to attention when I hear that, because that tells me when that's our answer, we don't understand love. Love isn't some soft core, feel good, hippie skippy idea that, oh, we're just gonna be nice to each other. No, that's not love. That's sentiment, perhaps, and sentiment's better than misery and bullying. But I believe that love transcends all the attempts to control and fearmonger people. I think we all know when love shows up, and we all know when bullying and fear-mongering shows up, right? When love shows up, everyone in the room or in the vicinity or in the culture sets up and pays attention, even if they don't like what they hear when somebody who is loving shows up. Jesus said, love your enemies. Now, oh my. Now, talk about a tall order. And for Jesus, his enemies were life-threatening dudes. His enemies were not, just going to get on a talk show on the radio or TV. His enemies were not going to just say bad things about him in the news media. No. His enemies were plotting. They were planning to crucify him. His enemies were literally, I'm sitting down at night talking about how do we catch this guy in his words so that we can put him out of our misery. So when Jesus said, love your enemies, it wasn't some kind of soft core, feel good, simplistic ideal. It was a significant demand to all of our hearts to be revolutionized beyond the reactionary norms of basic human fears. See, Jesus had plenty of that facing him. You know, it's the ultimate truth of this King of Kings hanging on the butchering Roman torture device called the cross. That's what the cross was. You know, we see crosses and golden gilded pictures and images in our churches. I'm all for that. I have a few crosses myself. I am reminded by it, though, that it was originally a Roman Empire torture device. It was one of the most brutal capital punishment machines in human history. So while hanging on that torture device, Jesus was praying for his butcherers. So see, love your enemies from that point of view, from that kind of quality and that kind of depth of soul and mind and spirit from Jesus? The love your enemies is anything but easygoing. There's nothing easygoing about that. It's nothing less than tough. And I've said here before, speaking of tough and tough love, I don't think there's anything such as tough love. Hear me carefully on that. There's no such thing as a tough love. Well, we got to have tough love. What that really means is people are saying, well, let's put love on the side and then let's screw up our thinking and our words like we are really loving and let's go after people. No, love that is love is tough all by itself. Because when we love, we accept the possibility that our love will be rejected, unnoticed, and possibly misunderstood. Love that is love is tough all by itself. And I'm urging people to join me in this pilgrimage, this marathon run toward a love that has that kind of quality to it, that we don't have to put some adjective in front of it, or it would be an adverb, because love is a verb, it's an action. So I don't put the tough in front of love to make it somehow better or different. No, love is tough all by itself. Because when love becomes the true revelation of our thinking, our heart, our character, our behavior, well, now we're going to be tough people. We're going to rise to some occasion that wow, nobody else can rise to like us. And now here's something else about all that. Nobody can love life the way you and I love life. Nobody else can do that. We have the specific express fingerprint of our own personality, our own experiences, our own world, and nobody can love the way you love life. So get up and get busy loving and living. Our human condition is hardwired for love, folks. So to love and to be loved is why we're breathing, eating, and sleeping, so we can regain energy for love, not causing pain, to be alive with dreams and plans and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I just have a locked purpose and aim in what I'm talking to you about here. You know, it's the far-fetched idea that while love may not change immediate circumstances, love changes the atmosphere slowly but surely. The arc of history is long, but Martin Luther King Jr. said, but it arcs toward justice. And I believe the root and the substance of justice is love. The love of God, for instance. It's an all-consuming flame of determination, and it transcends every challenge, and it draws us into an adequacy beyond our inadequacies. The love of God is that arc of history that Martin Luther King Jr. talked about. The love of God is an all-consuming flame of determination. There's a Bible verse that says, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Makes me wonder about, you know, people threatening you with hellfire and brimstone. You're going to go to hell and burn. I wonder if that fire isn't God himself. That the fire of God's love consumes all of the dross and the excess and the unnecessary parts of us and draws us up into God himself. All challenges can be met when we settle and still ourselves to the pursuit of love. I know every time I talk about love, I know somebody will show up, can show up, has shown up in my life, and they've said, oh yeah, well, but you didn't love. I needed your love and you didn't love me. And I have learned not to be defensive or to try to, put myself in a bubble or bubble wrap to protect myself from that criticism. I have learned to say, you're probably right. And if I have specific memories, I can say, you are right. I did not love you as I could have then, and please forgive me. I mean, this is part of my 12-step program as a codependent. Hi, I'm Randy. I'm a codependent. I have lived a life of codependency because I grew up in a home of dependency, where there was a drug and alcohol a person in my home of four, and because of their drug and alcohol addiction, it drove all of us into this spiral of pain. And what I know is that in my codependency recovery, I have to sustain the 12 steps, and I have to continually own my shortfalls, own my shortcomings, own my own mistakes, own my own errors, and own my own blundering stupidity. And when somebody says, "You didn't love me, I needed your love and you didn't love me," I can, through the health and the delivery of the 12 steps through my life, I can say, "You're right, and please forgive me. I'll do my level best to be a better person." You see, that's what love does. Love doesn't reject somebody's accusation. Love says, "All right, I'm willing to look for the speck in my eye. I'm willing to look for the log in my eye rather than looking for the speck in your eye." That's what love will do. Love will just backpedal, take a deep breath, and learn that even if your accusation is completely unfair — by the way, the accusations made against Jesus were 100% wrong, and he could have fought verbally for for days, weeks, months, but he chose not to do so because he had a bigger purpose in his life and in the life of those who were charging him with his quote-unquote failures. So in my own life, I know that I can rise above this, the challenge that, you know, I didn't love well, by saying, "You're right," because I know that my journey of love, my need to grow in love, my purpose in this life to love will be part of every day, of every week, of every month, and every year and decade of my life. You see, I'm 69. I don't think I'm old yet, but I can sure see it from here. Somebody just called me an old codger. Well, okay. Guilty as charged, I suppose, but if I'm going to be a negative old codger, it's going to be sitting around in my own little self-defensive bunker, emotional bunker, fighting off all the accusations and telling everybody else how wrong they are. That's not the way I'm going to live. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. So I'm not gonna try to convince anybody of how wrong they are. I'm simply going to, as Jesus said, love my enemies. And when Jesus hung on that butchering device called the cross, he looked at his enemies and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And you know, in those words, Jesus was looking at me, and Jesus was looking at you. And he was saying over all of humankind, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Isn't it true? Isn't it true? This is who we are. We don't know what we're doing. And rather than be in a self-defensive posture and climb into our emotional bunker, it's healthy to step up and say, "I don't always know what I'm doing. I'm reaching for better. I'm climbing a mountain. I'm running a race. Sometimes I have to stop and rest. Sometimes I have to take my shoes off and soak my feet in some kind of refreshing means of getting back on the journey. But here's what I know. I will not shrink away from this lifelong pursuit of love. I will not put limits on God's love, nor will I put limits on myself. I'm going to be brave enough to just remove all the limitations on the love of God." And that when I find that I'm just, you know, I'm looking at somebody that I wish God didn't love, now I'm reminded, "Oh, love your enemies. Okay, Jesus, I hear you." When I look at somebody and I'm wishing on them the worst that hell could serve up for them, I remind myself of how I was forgiven when I had no credibility for being forgiven. Facing a challenge of every new day is a whole nother opportunity, isn't it? That's why I'm saying love is not some kind of soft core, hippy dippy ideal of, "Oh, well, let's just love one another. Let's just feel good about each other." No. And I I will say that I'll spend some more time here on the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love, telling you how that is not who I am. And if you've thought that, I'm sorry. I will do a better job of explaining, unpacking, and delivering and bringing the mystery of love to full view so that all of you here, that you come here Sunday in or Saturday in and Saturday out and Sunday out, if you come here regularly, I promise you I'm going to keep fighting through the layers, the encyclopedic beauty of love. I'm going to keep reading and studying and praying and contemplating and meditating toward love so that my life will be a better and better and better example of and practice of love. So in these final few moments of this broadcast, I just want to say thank you again for coming in here and giving me a half an hour of your life. It means the world to me. It truly does. I take none of that for granted. Your trust of me with this time is extraordinary. I cannot say enough how much that is appreciated. But I also want you to know that as I go through this broadcast, going through into a whole nother year, this is 1st of February that I'm recording this today. As I face the next 11 months of the rest of this year, I promise you that I'll just keep plugging away. I'm not going to get static. As the best as I know how, I won't get stale. I'll keep unpacking love. I'll keep giving you the creed of love. I'll keep challenging you on the next two exercises that we do every week here on the No BS Bishop. And the first one is to breathe. To breathe well is to live well. Knowing how to breathe is, it may seem redundant, but the truth is we live in a society that's kidnapped by the hurry sickness. We're kidnapped by the long list sickness. How much can I get done today? Who do I need to see? Who do I need to call? What do I got to get done? I got to run here. I got to go there. I got to make this stop. I got to make that stop. You know it. I'm tired just explaining it. We are in need of breathing well. So when I say to you, I want to give you just a little exercise here to breathe. It's not some little passing the time moment. This is for me very important. So on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. I want you to draw that breath, drag that breath all the way down into the foundation of your lung, right up against your diaphragm. Hold it there as long as you can. Sometimes physical abilities may not allow you to hold it there long, but take it down into the bottom of your lungs for as long as it's possible for you. Hold it and then exhale. And when you do, you don't have to say or do anything when you exhale. Maybe smile. Smile a meditative, contemplative grin. All right? On the count of three, take a deep breath. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. Hang on. And exhale. Did you grin? You can go ahead and grin. Now I am. You know, that's, I keep saying, I wish you could see my eyes or my face, but that's called TV or video recording. Anyway, this is a different mode. So that's one of the practices we do here. The second practice is learning how to pull meaning into your words when you say, I love you. Now, perhaps this is a long stretch. Maybe this is just too much to ask of you, and I'm sorry if that's the case, but can I challenge you one more time? Can I just ask one more time? Give it a try. Give it a try with a friend, a spouse, a significant other, somebody somewhere. Give it a try. Slow those three words down. They're so charming. They're so magical. They're so real and beautiful. Slow those words down to an intentional, authentic reach from your heart to say to somebody, with full eye contact, yeah, I know it's weird, but say, I love you. Now, when you do that, you know, your eyes will often feel like, oh, I can't look any longer. It's too uncomfortable. But resist that urge to look away. Resist the urge to be too nervous about it. And simply say it. And when I say that I love you as a invitation to a practice, I'm saying it to you who are listening. I know you're facing life in its hardest, sometimes bloodiest, like Jesus on the cross. And I have all the empathy for you that I know how to tell you I have. I've been there more than you may know. And I love you. Now get up and live this life. Nobody can live and love like you. May your living and your loving be singularly you. Let the world see what love looks like when it comes from the beauty and the significance and the authenticity of you. You, you, you sweet thing. You, 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 you humble one. You, you, you frightened one. You, you, you pain-filled one. You who battle cancer. Maybe you're battling emotional distraught. Whatever you are, whoever you are, nobody can live and love like you. So rise and shine on some level. You don't have to go conquer the whole world. Just conquer one moment with the power of love. Now go out and do something beautiful, folks. Because, oh, baby boy, baby girl, ugly is getting done to death and the world is waiting for powerful people like you and me to go out, rise and shine, and love like we love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.